All right, let's get into the Word tonight. We are in the fourth week of our GOAT commitment. We've been studying through the commitments that the Lord has been challenging us with in this season of GO. And we kicked off with the overview, and then we just started talking about the commitments. The second week of our study, we talked about the first commitment, which was to biblical worship. We talked about the fact that those that worship Him will worship Him in spirit and truth. And then last week, we talked about the commitment to biblical prayer. And we concluded with an understanding that biblical prayer is a life lived in a mode of prayer as a prayer unto the Lord. Not just words. Biblical prayer is not just words, but it also involves listening. It's a communication, and it is a life that is lived in an atmosphere of communication with the Father through Jesus Christ. And so we talked about that and the making a commitment to prayer. Tonight, we are going to talk about two of the commitments. We're combining these two tonight. And that is biblical reading, study, and then self-discipline. So we're going to take those two commitments, the commitment to reading the Word, which involves studying the Word, and the commitment to self-discipline. And the Lord kind of challenged me, not just with self-discipline, but with spirit discipline and flesh discipline. It's where we really need to focus. And so we are going to be talking about biblical reading, study, and then spiritual discipline, self-discipline, flesh discipline. So we're just going to take off there, and we're going to see where we end up. We're going to be looking at three different aspects tonight, tying these together, and just see where the Lord leads us. Hopefully, you are being challenged in these commitments, and hopefully you are making fresh commitments to the Lord as we walk through this. When we talk about reading the Word, study. Okay, I'll get into the Scriptures, and we'll go there here in just a little bit, but I'm not going to focus as much tonight on the concept just reading. So I think we can probably cover this part pretty quickly and then move into the next. But when we talk about Bible reading, we talk about reading the Word and studying the Word. Why do you read the Word? That becomes the question that we have to grapple with. Why do you read the Word? Somebody give me some reasoning. Why do you, personally, why do you read the Word? For knowledge? For strength? To see what God is saying to us, to communicate with us? For hearing? Absolutely. What's the Word say? What happens? Faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the Word of God. So if we're reading to hear God communicate with us, faith can rise within our hearts. Strength definitely is in the Word. Knowledge is in the Word. It's the Word is knowledgeable. It discovers our conditions, right? Approval. Don't forget that. That's biblical. Study the Word to show yourself approved, right? That's what the Word says. A workman that's worthy, right? Rightly dividing. So we read and we study for approval. I think we avoid the concept of trying to live our life to be approved by God. We, for some reason, we have allowed that concept to get hijacked into, when we talk about approval, we've allowed that to get hijacked somehow into, somehow we're talking about some legalistic trying to work our way to salvation. But I want to tell you, that's not what that means. We should be striving for God's approval. Amen? If you're married, how many of you want your spouse to approve of you? Is that a legalistic thing? No. It's because you love them and you care about them and their opinion matters. And how much more should we desire God's approval? I want to say this to you. We live in a culture to where that concept is foreign in the church. That concept of gaining approval, the approval of God. It's almost like a foreign concept because, well, it's not, we can't be good enough for God, but we can gain His approval. Are y'all with me? That we can't be good enough for salvation, never will, but we should strive every moment of every day for God's approval. If we would take that concept and put it back in our doctrine and back in our churches, people's lives would change. Amen. If you would start living your life every moment for God's approval, your life would change. There would be things you wouldn't do any longer. Amen. There would be things you would do if you were really striving for God's approval. Not this greasy stuff that we have now. Well, it doesn't matter what I do. You know, God's just going to accept me. His grace is big. Yes, His grace is big enough. But God also has approval. Amen. Well, no, there is no cheap grace. It costs God everything. His only Son, His only begotten Son, it costs Jesus His life. That's not a cheap grace. And we cheapen it when we cease to live for God's approval. Amen. And so those are excellent reasons why we read the Word. The question then becomes, if those are the reasons why we read the Word, why don't we read the Word? Because statistically, we're not reading the Word. That's reason number one right there, right? Laziness. We're too busy. We have filled our schedules with everything else. Amen? Have you ever noticed it's easy to say I don't have time to read or to dedicate time to pray, but we find time to do everything else we want to do. Right? Because you might go a little while and you're so busy, you're not able to do the things you want to do. But guess what every person does at some point after they've gone a little while and they're so busy and they haven't had time to do the things they want to do? What do? They find the time to go do what they want to do. They say, well, I've got to have my time. Right? Because if I don't have my time, if I don't take this time for me to do the things I want to do, then I'm not going to be able to go on. But we don't look at God's Word that way and the things of God that way. We just say, well, we just don't have time. But that's the Word. That's the bread of life. The Lord even said when Satan was tempting Him, said, turn these stones to bread. And the Lord says, man does not live by bread alone. But what did He say? But by what? Every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Amen? Every word. The Word is our source, is our strength, it's our knowledge, it's all of these things that we've talked about. And so when we understand the importance of biblical reading and why we read, we do not read the Bible just to have a history lesson. Okay, that's not why we read the Bible. We don't read the Bible just to fill time or just to say we've read the Bible through. We read the Bible, and it's okay to read the Bible just devotionally and read because you got to get it in you somehow. Veronica's grandmother, she used to sleep at night with the Bible just playing on cassette tape until that tape would end. And she'd just listen through the Bible. And we used to give her a hard time and say, are you just by osmosis getting the Word? But she just had the Word playing all the time. Okay, that's a good thing. No, I'm not saying that's bad, but I'm saying that's not the only reason that we read. Engage your mind when you read. Amen? Because if you don't engage your mind when you read, you'll never remember what you're reading. Right? And some people say, well, I don't have an ability to retain or to grasp. Okay? Well, then if that's you, that's fine. That's the way some people are. But here's what you need to do. You need to read less and think about what you read more. That's not an excuse to just say, well, I don't retain it, so why read it? No, if it's just you just read a verse and then you think real deeply about that verse and pray over that verse and ask God to give you wisdom in that verse before you go to the next verse. Whatever it takes, get in the Word. Read and study the Word. What did you say, Shelley? Yeah, sometimes you just need to read. Believe me, I read devotionally. I read the word devotionally. I read a proverb every day. That's just my every day of the month. And then at the end of the month, I start over and I just read through Proverbs every month. That's just what I do. 31 Proverbs, so it just works that way. And then I do other devotional reading through the New Testament, the Old Testament. And oftentimes, I got to go back and reread that because I'm just kind of reading along and all of a sudden my mind will drift. And before I know it, I've read over about 10 verses. And I have no idea what I've just read, right? And so I'll go back and I'll reread that and engage my mind a little bit in. There's no wrong way to read, exactly. But engage your mind when you read. Make study time with your reading. Read devotionally. That's great. Read what other people say about the Word. That's great. But read the Word and study the Word for yourself. Amen. Make sure you do that. Don't just read what other people say about the Word. Read and study the Word for yourself. That becomes vital and that becomes important to us. And so we have to ask ourselves, why do I read the Word? Why don't I read the Word? And does it matter? Because I would dare say every person in this room would ultimately say it matters whether I read the Word or not. Right? It matters. Because you get the Word in you, the Word combats the world. That's one thing I've noticed. Prayer is important, no doubt, because prayer gets your mind right and your attitude right sometimes. But the Word combats the world. The Bible says that the Word is, and in Jeremiah it says that the Word is like a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces. If you've ever broken a rock in pieces, most of the time a rock starts crumbling from the inside. You may hit it and not see anything, but the integrity of the inside of that rock is breaking down every time that hammer is hitting it until eventually the interior breaks down enough and then the rock just crumbles, right? That's how the Word works. We get the Word in us. It's breaking down that hardness and the hardness of the world that's gotten in and tried to develop. And then the more we have the Word in us, the more it's combating that. And so we need the Word. So, okay, let's move forward. Let's get in to what I want to share with you tonight. We're going to start in Luke chapter 23. We're going to look at three people tonight, three different groups of people. We're going to look at the women at when Jesus is carrying the cross, the daughters of Jerusalem. Jesus is going to prophesy about them. The women that are following him along would have been his mother, would have been Mary, the other Mary, would have been the women following along. We're going to look at Simon from Cyrene, and we're going to look at the Emmaus Road encounter with Cleopas and the other man that was with him. Luke chapter 23 and verse number 26. Luke 23 verse 26 says, "Now as they led Jesus away, they laid hold of a certain man, Simon, a Cyrenian. Who was coming from the country, and on him they laid the cross that he might bear it after Jesus. And a great multitude of the people followed him, and women who also mourned and lamented him. But Jesus, turning to them, said, 'Daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For indeed the days are coming in which they will say, blessed are the barren wombs that never bore, and breasts which never nursed. And then they will begin to say to the mountains, fall on us, and to the hills, cover us.'" He's talking prophetically, apocalyptically, in the days that are going to be coming. "For if they do these things in the green wood, what will be done in the dry wood?" Okay. "There were also two other criminals led with him to be put to death. And when they had come to the place called Calvary, there they crucified him and the criminals, one on the right hand and the other on the left." Now, we've been walking through this, and each of these commitments, we've been looking at people of the passion, people of the cross, people that were in the Lord's life in the last days of his life through the crucifixion and up until the upper room. And we're just taking groups of people, and we're learning from them some concepts in this commitment. Because what they are doing is they are walking through commitments. They are walking through situations that they're having to learn to deal with. And these situations focus us on the commitments that we need as well today. And so tonight we're going to look at a few of these that he brings up. So here's what we're going to be covering tonight. Okay, we're going to be talking about this. We're going to be talking about self-discipline and study in the Word and focus. And we're going to be talking mind, body, and spirit. Mind, body, and spirit. Because in order for us to be self-disciplined, to have spiritual disciplines in our life, in order for us to have flesh discipline in our life, in order for us to truly come to the Word the way that we should, we have to engage mind, body, and spirit. And in these three groups that we're going to talk about tonight, we are going to see an engaging with Christ in a commitment, in an aspect of commitment, mind or body or spirit. And so let's see what we can learn. The first ones we're going to talk about are women. We're going to talk about the women that I just mentioned to you as Jesus begins to speak to them. Let's look what he said again, verse 27. A great multitude of people followed him, and women who also mourned and lamented for him. Now that's not unusual. In Jewish culture of that day and any day, there are mourners. Okay, in that day there were mourners. You remember when Jesus would go into Jairus' daughter. He would go in and the mourners were there. They were just the group of people that they were going to mourn. He put them out and said, that, you know, get out of here and raised her to life. But there is a group of people that mourn. Okay, that's nothing unusual in the culture. Thank you, George. Do I need to switch that? All right. We'll hit that and we'll see if that helps a little with my cutting in and out. But the mourners are nothing unusual in this day. But these that are mourning for Christ, he begins to redirect them. Okay, and that's what I want to focus on just a little bit. Because the first concept I want to look at is the concept of engaging the Lord with our mind. Okay? Engaging the Lord with our mind. This is an aspect of self-discipline. An aspect of studying Christ. An aspect of going deeper with the Lord is you have to engage in your mind. As a man thinks, so is he. Your mind becomes important. I want you to think of these women with me for a moment. I want you to think of what they are seeing. I want you to think of what they are experiencing. What they're feeling in this moment. These are, you think of the women that would have been with him now and all the way through and stood there as he was crucified and died until they took his body off of the cross. They took him to prepare the body, and these women were with him from beginning to end. Now I want you to think of the process that they're going through and the mindset that they must have had to fight through. Can you put yourself in that place and see the struggle with their mind that they must have had? Here's the one they love. You know, we could say Mary's seeing her son, even though prophetically she was already told he was going to give his life and be the Savior of the world. We see the others that he's delivered and set free, but they're now walking with him. He's claimed he's the Messiah. They believe he's the Messiah, but now they're watching him as he's battered, as he's bleeding, and as he's on his way to dying. Ultimately, they're going to see him die. They're going to see him put in a tube. And then later, they're going to see him raised again. But think of the mental anguish and the mental challenge that was bringing to them. See, we read through these things, and we don't think about what's really going on. These were women in this setting that everything is being challenged. Their belief is being challenged. Their belief is being challenged by what they're seeing. Their understanding is being challenged by what they're hearing. Right? Their faith is being challenged by what they're experiencing. What they're feeling. So it becomes a battle for their mind. Right? How many believe their faith in Christ was challenged in that moment? Because of their feelings. Because when your feelings are involved, it's hard to have faith. When your emotions get involved, they'll lie to you, right? And faith becomes a choice and a difficulty. Amen. So their faith, their understanding of what Christ is saying to them is being challenged because of what they're hearing going on, what everybody else is saying, what they're hearing happen, hearing him gasp for breath, their understanding of who he is, the Son of God, the Messiah. How could this be? Their understanding is being challenged. Right? Their beliefs being challenged by what they're seeing in front of them. They believe, but what they're seeing now is not lining up with what they were believing. And so it is a battle and an attack on their mind. So what do they have to do in order to get from this moment, the moment of him being arrested, him being scourged, him being mocked, him being ridiculed, accused, and condemned, and now they're walking along with him as he's carrying the cross, and they're seeing him in weakness, and they're going to see him crucified, and they're going to see him die. How did they get from there to at the tomb when they see he's alive? How do they hang on? Because there was a battle in their thought processes. That's what the word says. It tells us to take every thought captive. They were having to process this. They were having to apply this. Okay? They are in the throes of trying to understand. And so here's what became most important for them. If you want to turn with me there, we'll start there. I quoted it, I think it was last week. We looked at it at the very end, and we're going to jump into it at the very beginning tonight. Romans chapter 12. Verse 1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Verse 2, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Last week we talked about the presenting your bodies a living sacrifice in prayer and in worship. We've kind of summed that up there. But now we're looking at, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now I began to think about that, and I saw their experience in that verse. Because they could not allow themselves to be conformed to the world. The world in that moment in their life was anti-Christ. How many would agree everything they're hearing, seeing, experiencing is anti-Christ in that moment? Crucify him. Mocking him. Beating him. Spitting upon him. Put him on the cross saying, if you're really the Christ, come down from there. Right? I mean, everything in the world is anti-Christ. So they had to make a choice. They could not be conformed to this world. And the only way you cannot conform to this world is by being transformed by the renewing of your mind. Now, that renewing of your mind is not a one-time experience. It is a daily experience, a constant experience. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Your mind has to continue to be renewed because the world is going to continue to attack. Come on now. Every step of the way on that day and in the days there, they're being attacked. And so they have to make a choice constantly to renew their mind. When they see him beaten, they have to renew their mind. When they hear him mocked, when they hear him crucify him, they have to renew their mind. They can't be conformed. They have to be transformed. They have to renew their mind. They have to keep their mind in the right direction. And so if we are going to be committed to self-discipline and spiritual disciplines and flesh discipline, then we also have to renew our mind. And how do we do that? Well, the way we do that is the Word. They had to do the same thing. They just didn't have the same written word we have. They had the word walking down the road. They had the words that Jesus had taught them and had pre-warned them about and had prepared them for these moments, and they had to keep their mind on those things. That's the only way you will renew your mind. The only way I know that Mary and the other Mary and Salome and all these others, the only way they could have continued to see Him as Christ is by continuing to renew their mind. Because when everything tries to pull you away from that, the only thing that will keep you in the right place is keeping your mind focused correctly. Amen. Because without that, you fall apart. Without that, you conform to the world. Without that, you give in to what you see, what you feel, what you hear. Right? No. The days of great joy, glad tidings, peace to all. Those days are distant memory now. This is spiritual warfare. How many see that? This is spiritual warfare going on. And it starts in the mind. Because if the enemy can get into your mind, he got into Peter's mind and brought fear to him. Therefore, he rejected Christ. He allowed his focus to get off of Christ, the Word. And he allowed his focus to get on his fear. And his focus to get on what would happen to him. And he denied Christ. But these women, they were there. They kept coming through. They kept winning the battle with their mind. Their mind was renewed. The Bible says in Philippians 4 and 8, think on these things. See, but if we're not in the Word, we don't know the things to think on. Amen. Now listen, there were a lot of people in that crowd that day who not many days prior to this moment had called Him Lord. There were many that were there that day that had seen the miracles, that had heard the stories, that probably were there as they laid palm branches down. And they were there on this day, and they had allowed what they had seen and heard and felt to cloud their judgment. And now they're going along, crucify Him. They're caught up with the crowd because they're not renewing their mind. You can have experiences with Christ, but until you renew your mind in the presence of His life, which is His Word, until you renew your mind there, you'll never live successfully in Christ. Amen. So here's what verse 2 of Romans 12 says. By the renewing of your mind is how you transform. That this is the way that you may. It's now becomes possible that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will. Because you renew your mind, and daily you're renewing your mind, you're being transformed. Now it becomes possible that you can prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. These women are classic examples of that. They didn't conform. They renewed their mind. There was some transformation in them. They renewed their thought process, and they stood and were able to prove, because they went from the dark moment to the resurrection moment. Amen. They proved what's the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. They proved it by renewing their mind. So what did they do? How do you renew your mind? Well, you look to the Word. I noticed something in their lives. They focused, everywhere we see them in the Passion story, they are looking on Jesus or looking for Jesus. Amen. And that's better than you realize. Everywhere we see them in this moment, they're looking upon Jesus or they're looking for Jesus. That's the key. If you're going to engage your mind, and if your mind's going to be renewed, and you're going to have self-discipline in your mind, everything in your life, you need to either be looking unto Jesus or looking for Jesus in the situation. Even when they get to the tomb, the women, there when it talks about Mary and it talks about the women going to the tomb. They're looking for Jesus. So when they don't see him, they look for him. Who? And when they see him and what they see doesn't seem to line up with what they thought, they just believe his word. Amen. That's good. That can sink into you. So how do you renew your mind? You look to the word. The word's sharper than any two-edged sword. It's able to divide asunder. We don't have to go to every word is given. The word is given and it's profitable. It's given for doctrine and reproof and rebuke. It's given for direction. The word of God is ours. And we must be looking to the word. And we must be looking for what Christ, the word, is doing in every situation. Either what is he saying or where is he in this moment? It's how you renew your mind. It's what I see the women doing here. And they look to the word, they look to the Lord. So they're looking to the word, they're remembering. He said he must die. He said blood had to be shed. He said he would rise again. He said, and they just continue to look to the word, to what they understood of the Messiah. And then they look to the Lord, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. So understand that. And then you have to look away from the negative influences. So they're looking to Jesus, looking for Jesus, or looking away from the negative influences. Amen. That's how you're going to renew your mind. You got to look to the word. You got to look for Jesus in every situation. And you got to look away from the negative influences. Because it's a battle for your mind. If you allow yourself to dwell in the negative things of the world, focus matters. Colossians chapter 3 says, set your mind on things above. Here, George, go with me there, would you? Colossians chapter 3. Go to verse 1. Colossians 3, verse 1. I want us to see this, and then we may not make it all the way through these, and that's fine. I'm not going to hold you past. So just, if then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. But go on to verse 2. Set your mind on things above. But look what he says. What's the next word? Go back to 2 for me, George, would you? Set your mind on things above. What's the next word? What not? Okay, hold on. That means he just told us where to look, where to set our mind, and what not to put our mind on. Amen? That's not just old-fashioned preaching. That's the word of God. There are things to put your mind on, and there are things not to put your mind on. Set your mind on things above. Not on things on the earth. So don't dwell on the earthly things, because they will become enmity with God. So you can't think on and dwell on the worldly things and win the battle for your mind. I hope we can hear that. Win the battle for your mind. Focus matters. Where you're looking matters. What you're looking for matters. So the women teach us how to discipline our mind. How to renew our mind. They were practicing this. They were looking to Jesus. So they're looking to the word. Or they're looking for Jesus. They're looking for what he's doing in this moment. What's happening in the moment. And they're looking away from the worldly influence. So we got to commit to that. That has to become our commitment. The second one, in the same setting there in Luke 23, verse 26. Now as they led him away, they laid hold of a certain man, Simon, a Cyrenian, who was coming from the country, and on him they laid the cross that he might bear it after Jesus. Simon, most would say, they believe he was a Jew from another country that came in for the Passover. Came in for the celebration. There was no room to stay in the city. He was staying outside of the city. So he was coming in that day to do the things he had come there to do. And they picked him out of the crowd to carry the cross of Christ. Okay? What can we learn from Simon about self-discipline? We learn from the women about engaging the mind. That we have to win the battle for the mind to be disciplined. But from Simon, we learn some things about the body. Because remember, we talked about mind, body, and spirit. Simon's going to teach us something about the discipline it takes in this body. I mean, you know, there's discipline that has to be in our mind. And then there's discipline in this flesh. We're going to see this because here's what they tell him to do. They say, hey, you, carry his cross. Does that sound familiar? Carry his cross. Do you think he wanted to do that? Do you think Simon wanted to do that? They would make them carry the cross beam. That's what they would carry. Some would say it probably weighed upwards even to 100 pounds. Jesus carried it, but he was weakened. He was beaten. He was weakened in the flesh, and he kept stumbling and falling. And so in order to get it along, he had to pick him up and carry. The Bible, Luke said, carried after him. Some would say, well, he picked it up and walked along with him. We could debate about whether he walked with Jesus carrying it or if he just carried it all on his own. But it says, Luke says he carried it after him. I think there's something significant there. I think Luke says for a reason. Certain man, Simon of Cyrene, was coming from the country, and on him they laid the cross that he might bear it after Jesus. Amen. Because I remember Christ teaching that we have to bear our cross daily. Deny yourself. Take up your cross and follow me. Come on. I mean, no, that's not fun, but we have to discipline our flesh to carry the cross after Jesus in the flesh. We're always carrying about the dying of the Lord Jesus. Didn't we just talk about that Sunday for those of you that were here? Right? We carry this treasure in earthen vessels, but we're always carrying about the death in the body, the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because let me tell you something, whether you like it or not, if you're going to be committed to Christ, you got to discipline your flesh. And to discipline the flesh is to take up the cross. Your cross after Christ, not the cross for salvation, but the cross that keeps our flesh in line with the sacrifice of Christ. What he already did, we now accept upon our flesh. Amen. And Simon represents that. But there's something else. Watch this. He not only carried the cross after Jesus, but he walked on the road with Jesus. Just some things I noticed. He walked on the road Jesus walked. At that moment in time, I don't know if Jesus was in front of him or behind him, but he was on the same road or beside him. But he walked on the road with Jesus. And there's something that hit me in that, in this disciplining of my flesh. I have to bear the cross, the death of Christ. I have to mark that on my body. I have to discipline my flesh to understand my flesh died with Christ. And then I have to walk on the road with Jesus. And the scriptures, Jesus talks about walking. Jesus tells them when he finds Peter, Andrew, and James, and John, he tells them, come follow me. Come walk with me. Come follow me. All throughout, we find that we have to walk. Ephesians chapters 4 and chapter 5. We learn we got to walk in unity. We've got to walk in love. We got to walk in light. We got to walk in wisdom. If we walk in the Spirit, we will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. We've got to discipline our bodies, our flesh, to walk on the road with Jesus. And we got to bear the mark of the cross. And we got to understand we die to our flesh. Simon didn't want to do that. Here's the thing. Simon was one of the first ones that would have gotten blood, redemption blood on him. Amen. Because let me tell you, when he took that cross on himself, it was a bloody mess. And when he picked it up, He bore the marks. And the blood would have dripped down upon him. And he's understanding some. There's something here. I don't know if he caught it all or not. But there's some lessons here that we need to understand. We need to walk. We need to follow. We need to bear. In our bodies, we need this, church. We need to hear this. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 24, do you not know that those who run in a race, they all run, but only one receives the prize? Run that you would obtain it. Everyone who competes is temperate in all things. They do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we an imperishable. I run, don't fight as I beat the air, but I discipline my body, bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. I discipline myself. I bring my flesh under subjection. I know we don't like to hear this, but Simon was there to worship, to offer a sacrifice. He was not there because he wanted to become a part of the sacrifice. He was just coming to bring. He's coming like we do. I'm just going to bring my offering to the Lord. Isn't this an awesome thing? But he was confronted there with a moment that now all of a sudden his flesh had to be disciplined and subjected to what he wasn't used to. Amen. How many know if you're going to be committed to Christ in your flesh, with your body, it means you have to carry about the cross. That's it. See, we see it. He was a part of the sacrifice, but the sacrifice was victory. The blood that he didn't want to touch him. Come on, let's be real. Can we just be real? How many of you are volunteering for that job? Because you don't want that blood on you. Right? He was forced to. He was compelled to. He was made to. And there's something in that. Because we have to make our flesh. Yeah, absolutely. But there's truth in this that we need to hear somehow. We are a part of the victory when we are a part of submitting and subjecting our flesh unto Christ and to the cross. The cross is the instrument of death for the flesh, but it's the instrument of life everlasting. That's right. Amen. And so we need to hear that. So you got to be engaged mind. Remember, we're talking about self-discipline, flesh discipline, spiritual disciplines. It's got to be mind and it's got to be body. And then the last one, and we're going to go ahead and hit it, is spirit. Okay? Now let's look. Go with me now. Luke chapter 24. One chapter over. Verse 13. Luke 24, verse 13. Now behold, two of them were traveling the same day to a village called Emmaus, was 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. And so it was, while they conversed and reasoned, Jesus drew near and went with them. But their eyes were restrained, so that they did not know him. And he said to them, what kind of conversation is this that you have with one another as you walk and are sad? And they said, are you the only one in this whole area that doesn't know what's happened? They don't realize who they're talking to. And he said, what things? And so they began to tell him about Jesus. He was a prophet, mighty indeed, and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests delivered him up to death. And we, verse 21, but we were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel. And besides all this, today is the third day since this happened. And certain women, there they are again. That's those mind-renewed women. Amen. Come on, ladies. Y'all ought to say amen right there. Y'all are the heroes of this story. It's the guys that were always doubting. There you go. I got a few more. Certain women of our company who arrived at the tomb early astonished us. And they did not find his body. They came saying they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. And certain of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see. And then he opens their heart. And he begins to expand from Moses all the way down through the prophets, telling them everything should happen. They drew near to the village, and I'm not going to take the time to read it all. He went in to eat with them, and He told them, let's pick it up. Let me just catch the main things. Verse 31, then their eyes were opened. They knew him, and he vanished from their sight. And they said to one another, did not our hearts burn within us when he talked with us, when he opened the scriptures to us? So they rose that very hour and ran to Jerusalem, and they found the others and told them the Lord is risen indeed. Okay? So now we come to these. You got mind, you got body, but then you got to be disciplined spiritually. Amen. Amen. Because now we find Cleopas is one of them's name. We don't know the other one's name. But now they learn to be led by the Spirit. Because they don't recognize him with their eyes. Their hearts are hurt. Even though they've heard words, they're having a hard time believing it. And so what do? They have to recognize his leading. They have to listen to his words. They learn from his teaching. Listen, they recognize his leading. How do they do that? They listen to his words and they learn from his teaching. And then their hearts burn within them. Spirit of God is touching the spirit of these men. And their hearts are burning with it. Let me tell you, if we're going to live in this world the way we should, committed to God, we got to get some burning down in our hearts. And that's the Spirit of God. Come on now. The Spirit causes us to recognize his leading. Isn't that what he comes to do? Does he not come to point us to Jesus and to direct us on our walk? He comes, and how does he do that? He burns within our hearts. In Luke 24, these two are being led by the Spirit. They're learning spiritual discipline. So you got mind discipline, you got body discipline, and now you got spirit discipline. Because now you got to follow the leading of the Spirit and let him point you to Jesus and help you recognize Jesus. And then you got to experience that burning desire in your heart. And we leave this out. I mean, when you leave spiritual discipline, discipline with the things of the Spirit out of your walk, you will not be able to experience the miraculous life God has for you. Amen. You won't. Yeah. You will not. If you do not take time to allow the Spirit of God to move in your life. They could have just told him to go on. Hey, why are you bugging us? You don't know what we're talking about. Just go on. We're mourning. We've heard some things we don't understand. They allowed the Spirit to lead them. Come on now. And then they said, didn't our hearts burn within us? Yeah. When was the last time we've experienced just our hearts burning within us? Jeremiah 29, he said, I didn't want to preach for you anymore, but your word was like fire that was shut up in my bones. And I couldn't help but preach your word. Amen. And let's look at Psalm 39. And I'm going to close. Psalm 39. We're going to tie this up. George, get ready here in just a moment. I'm going to have you throw that up on the screen for me, the commitment for this week. But Psalm 39 and verse 3, my heart was hot within me. While I was musing, the fire burned, and then I spoke with my tongue. Amen. Amen. Come on now. Do y'all see? We've got to hear. We've got to allow the Spirit to move. And let's back up. Psalm 39 verse 1. I said, I will guard my ways lest I sin with my tongue. I will restrain my mouth with a muzzle while the wicked are before me. I was mute with silence. I held my peace even from good. My sorrow was stirred up. My heart now was hot within me. While I was musing, the fire burned. Then I spoke with my tongue. Amen. I just want to bring, we need encounters with the Spirit. We need to discipline our spirit man to have encounters with the Spirit of God that point us to Jesus, that burn within our hearts, that prepare us for a miraculous life. That's the kind of discipline we have to have, mind, body,
and spirit.
And I don't know about you, but I'm glad to be a part of a church that wants all three. Amen. Because I believe the Spirit of God still wants to move upon us today. But we have to be disciplined enough to receive. They had to go into the room. I see, I don't have time to get where I wanted to go, but that's all right. They had to go into the room with Jesus so the Spirit could reveal to them what He was wanting to say and what He wanted them to say. So there comes a time spiritually you got to put yourself in the room with Jesus until the Spirit reveals to you what He's wanting to say and reveals to you what He wants you to say. Amen. George, throw that up for me. Here's our commitment for this week. So what we are asking is we commit to spiritual and flesh discipline, body, mind, and spirit. We commit to following the leading of the Spirit and pursuing obedience at all times. If we can make that our commitment, and that includes reading the Word, studying the Word, because you've got to have the Word to renew your mind. And then it includes following the Spirit. Amen? And it includes submitting our body. And how many believe if we'll do that, we'll have a commitment that'll make a difference. Stand to your feet with me tonight. I hope that you're learning something on this journey. I think that there are times in the Word that we can so easily just run past and miss. I've been taught my whole life the Word of God is like an onion. How many of y'all have ever been taught that? It's like an onion. You know an onion? You know, you peel one layer off an onion, and what do you find underneath that? Another layer, right? And you peel that layer off, and what do you find? Another layer. Do you know that's how the Word of God is? The more you keep peeling, the more He keeps showing. Yes. Fresh every day. Amen. So let's make this commitment. Body, mind, and spirit. Let's pray.